Well, if you were here last night, you'll know that one of the things that I brought with me was this replica first century oil lamp that I was showing folk yesterday. And I understand one or two people were disappointed that they didn't get to see it in action. So I do have some olive oil, so we are going to light this. And hopefully, they are a little bit difficult to light. But once they get going, they do give off a good light. And as I was explaining yesterday, these olive lamps were used very commonly in the first century. Almost certainly, as Jesus was born, there would be a lamp like this. Several lamps like this, probably, in wherever it was that Jesus was born. Maybe a stable, maybe elsewhere. Let's try and light it. Is it going to stay lit? It does take a little while. It's longer than a candle. There we go. Okay, so there we have a, I don't know if you can see it. That's a working oil lamp, a little bit smoky. But we'll leave that burn, and if it gets too smoky, I will blow it out. But and wipe the olive oil off my hands as well. There we go. Right. Okay. Now, I today have got a Christmas present for everybody in the church. Okay. It's a very small Christmas present, but I think I've got enough for everybody. But I need two children to come and help me to give the Christmas present to everyone. Okay. Now, Isaac, you didn't get chosen last night, did you? So I'm going to choose you, Isaac. Okay. Yes, I think that's probably a good idea. Give that to Daddy. And Eli, I'll choose you as well. Okay, so you come out as well. Okay, I think you'll need to leave your wolf behind, though. Is that okay? All right. Okay. So what I want to do is I'm going to give you a little box, Eli, and I'm going to give you a little box, Isaac. Okay. And what I want you to do is walk down the middle of the church here. Okay. And let the person on the end. Okay, take enough little things out my box so that they can pass it down the row so that everyone has got something. Is that all right, if both of you can do that? Okay. Don't you touch what's in my box, though, okay? Because this present that I'm about to give now is only for the adults, all right? So don't give it to any children. Give it to adults, okay? And don't worry, because I've got a different present for the children afterwards, okay? So, let's have a look in here. Right, so you give that to the people on this side of the room, and you give that to the people on that side of the room, and the person on the end can pass it along. Okay, take enough to you can either pass the pot, or you can take a handful and pass them along. It's up to you. Okay, pass it back. Thank you, Jess. If you want to, Isaac's got more people than you, Eli. So if you want to help out Isaac on this side, that's okay. Right. Some people are wondering if they should eat this. I would advise against it. If you've already done that, as my dad did yesterday, don't worry. But I would advise against it. Okay. Is that everyone? Just a few at... Oh, we've missed Jack and Margaret down here. Oh, we missed Margaret down here. Okay. So once they get their tray back, they'll come down for you. There we are. You two boys used to think taking the offering was really easy, didn't you? And you've got a new respect for the deacons now. There we are. I think that's everybody now. Yep. Okay. Okay. Right. Wonderful. Thank you. Right. Now you perhaps can guess what the next. Can I have those back again? Thank you very much. You can go back to your wolf now. Right, my next question is, does anyone know what they've got? Anyone like to have a guess what they've got? What Christmas present have I given to all of you? Well, Marion thinks it's frankincense, and Neil thinks it's myrrh. And judging by what you have in front of you, Marion is right. Okay? So if you have a dark-coloured piece like this, okay, this is frankincense. Okay? That's what frankincense looked like. And if you have a lighter-coloured piece that's probably a little bit smaller, looks more like this, okay, you can see them up there, that's myrrh. So I have given you frankincense and myrrh, which, as you know from the Bible, is a very rich gift, fit for kings. So I obviously think highly of you. Well, I did promise that I would have another gift for the children, all right? Can any of the children think, if I've given the adults frankincense and myrrh, what gift do you think that I've got for you to take home today? What do you think?
Gold.
Gold. Right. Do you think I've got real gold to give to you to take away? No. Well, in my bag here, all right, I've got an ingot of gold. Look at that. Solid gold. Solid gold. It's not quite what the wise men brought Jesus, because inside my box is some gold. So, you must promise not to eat it now, okay? But I will give each of the children some gold, okay? And you're only allowed to eat it when your mum or dad says so. And with all... I'll give you one. I know you're not really a child, but I've got lots of them. All right? Now then, when we got these, Sharon said to me, well, if you're giving these bars out, you're going to have to give one to Carol, because Carol loves these, don't you, Carol? Carol's favourite chocolate. She's addicted to them, she says. So if you're likewise addicted, I do have some spares, and maybe you can ask me at the end. Well, that's my gold, frankincense, and myrrh, but what I also want to do is I want to give you a little sense of what frankincense and myrrh smell like. So what you used to do is you used to burn it. Or if you had a fire, you would throw the frankincense onto the fire. Now, I didn't want to start a fire, so these little incense burners will have to do. They'll take a little while to warm up, as it were, and for the aroma to spread. But hopefully, by the time we've finished, you will have a little sense of what it might have smelt like when that will come wafting round the room. Don't worry, we won't have incense burning in the church ever again, just for Christmas. Okay, right, now, let me ask you a question. All right, we've got gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And these were the presents that the wise men brought to Jesus, the Magi. Okay, now these Magi, we're not sure exactly where they came from, somewhere in the east, maybe from Arabia. But we do know where frankincense and myrrh come from. You can only get frankincense and myrrh from two places in the world. Okay, you can either get it from the area around Somalia in Africa, or you can get it in southern Arabia. And because they were the only two places you could get it in Jesus' day, it was really, really expensive. Just as expensive of gold, actually. Now, I couldn't afford to give you children real gold, could I? I had to get you a gold biscuit instead. But frankincense and myrrh are much cheaper nowadays because it's really easy to travel. So my frankincense and myrrh came yesterday in the post, and no problems at all. Easy to send it. But of course, in Jesus' day, no planes, no cars, nothing like that. They had to load it onto camels and trek it across the desert for hundreds or thousands of miles, and it used to cost an awful lot of money. But the wise men brought these gifts because they wanted to honor Jesus. And they were the sort of gifts that you would give to a king. And there are some stories in the literature of the Middle East of other people, other kings receiving these sorts of gifts of gold and of frankincense and of myrrh. And the wise men, the Magi, knew this. And they thought, well, if we're going to see a king, we need to bring gifts fit for a king. And that's what they did. And all I want to do this morning, just very briefly, is to tell you a little bit more about each of those gifts that the wise men brought and what it helps us to understand about the Lord Jesus. Now, before I start, I think I probably ought to say, I don't think that the wise men knew everything that I'm about to tell you. Because I'm going to be telling you things from the Old Testament, and I don't think the wise men really knew the Old Testament very well, did they? Because they weren't from God's people, they were from the East. Perhaps they'd never even read the Old Testament, or certainly not all of it. You remember when they came into Jerusalem, they had to ask the chief priests and the scribes where the Messiah would be born. And they looked it up in the Old Testament, or they knew it from the Old Testament, but the wise men didn't know. So I don't think the wise men quite knew exactly what they were bringing Jesus. They just knew that they wanted to bring gifts fit for a king. But of course, God knew, and I think God put it in their heart to bring them something that would say more than simply that these were gifts fit for a king. Well, gold, first of all. I suppose gold is of all of the three things that are mentioned, gold is the one with which we're most familiar. I don't suppose many of you have got frankincense or myrrh at home, but you've probably all got some gold. This is the only bit of gold, I think, that I own, but most of us would have something like this, and most of us, therefore, would have some kind of gold at home, something we're familiar with. But even today, gold is a sign of riches, and if you ever see a king or a queen, they often have a golden crown. You would expect to see gold in a temple or a palace, wouldn't you? It's a symbol of wealth and power. And just as it is today, so it was in Jesus' day as well. It was all of those things. So as the wise men were bringing gold to Jesus, they were saying, here is a man who is greatly enriched. Here is a rich person. Here is a baby who has great power. Here is a child who belongs in a temple or a palace. That's what they were saying about the Lord Jesus. That's what it tells us about Jesus, that he is the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. And he's the one who reigns over all the universe. He has incredible power. And I think the wise men needed great faith, didn't they? Can you imagine going to that little house and seeing a tiny baby, perhaps still in a manger, but with relatively poor parents perhaps, and thinking, well, here's a child of great power. Nobody else would have thought that. But that's what the wise men thought. That's what they understood, and they understood it by faith. And sometimes it can feel like that to us, can't it? Sometimes maybe we'll pray for something, and then it doesn't come to pass. And perhaps then we start to doubt, well, has Jesus really got the power that he says he has? And sometimes we need to understand Jesus' power in faith. Because just as when he was here on earth, Jesus had the power of the whole Godhead, as it were, at his disposal. And yet he chose not to exercise it. For our good, actually. If he'd have come in power that first time, rather than in weakness, there would be no teaching and no miracles and no cross and no salvation and no hope. But because he came in meekness and in weakness even, rather than in power, then we have great hope. So Jesus constrained his power in order that he might carry out his mission, in order that it would be for our good. And actually, he still does that today sometimes. And sometimes we pray for things, we might pray for good things. And the Lord Jesus could answer our prayers, and he could intervene powerfully in our lives. But sometimes he chooses not to. But if you're a Christian this morning, every time God chooses not to intervene in power in your life, then it's for your good. It's for your good. Because he knows what we need before we need it. He knows it better than we know it ourselves. And sometimes he withholds his power for our good. And we must never forget that Jesus Christ is all powerful. Even though sometimes for us, we have to trust in that through faith. We don't always see it in the way perhaps that we would like to. Well, that's something about gold. It tells us something about the power and the mightiness of Jesus Christ. What about frankincense then? Well, frankincense is mentioned quite a bit in the Old Testament as well, actually. If you have a modern translation like the NIV, it's often just translated as incense in the Old Testament, but the older translations tend to translate the same word as frankincense, which is a good translation. And one example of that is from Exodus chapter 30 and verse 34, which I'm going to read to you now. This is a time in the book of Exodus when God's people, they've come out of Egypt, they've crossed the Red Sea, they're on their way to the Promised Land. And during that time, the tabernacle is set up, a big tent that was the precursor to the temple. It's where everybody went to worship God, it's where the priests went, the sacrifices were offered, that kind of thing. And in the book of Exodus, there are lots of instructions about how this tabernacle ought to be built and how God ought to be worshipped. And in the middle of all that, in Exodus chapter 30 and verse 34, we read this. Then the Lord said to Moses, take fragrant spices, gum resin, onycha, and galbanum, and pure frankincense, all in equal amounts, and make a fragrant blend of incense, the work of a perfumer. It is to be salted and pure and sacred. Ground some of it to powder and place it in front of the Ark of the Covenant Law in the tent of meeting where I will meet with you. It shall be most holy to you. Do not make any incense with this formula for yourselves. Consider it holy to the Lord. Whoever makes incense like it to enjoy its fragrance must be cut off from their people. So do you see how frankincense is used there in the book of Exodus? Frankincense is used, along with some other spices, as an incense that was to be used at the tabernacle, and an incense that was holy to the Lord. In other words, it was something that was used for worship. And we know that the wise men, when they came to Jesus, they bowed down and they worshipped him. And frankincense represents for us then, not the riches and the glory of Jesus, as perhaps gold does, but it reminds us that Jesus is to be worshipped. It reminds us that he's not just a baby in a manger who grew up to be a man, but he is God himself. He is divine. He is to be worshipped. And that's what frankincense reminds us of. And we've got another thing here in Exodus chapter 30, because a few verses earlier in Exodus chapter 30, beginning at verse 22, we read this. Still talking about the tabernacle. Then the Lord said to Moses, take the following fine spices. 500 shekels of liquid myrrh, half as much, that is 250 shekels of fragrant cinnamon, 250 shekels of fragrant calamus, 500 shekels of cassia, all according to the sanctuary shekel and a hin of olive oil. Make these into a sacred anointing oil, a fragrant blend, the work of a perfumer. It will be the sacred anointing oil. Then use it to anoint the tent of meeting, the Ark of the Covenant Law, the table and all its articles, the lampstand and its accessories, the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offering, and all its utensils, and the basin with its stand. You shall consecrate them so they will be most holy, and whatever touches them will be holy. So myrrh too was used in tabernacle and then in temple worship. And whereas frankincense was used for worship, myrrh was used as an anointing oil. And who is anointed with myrrh? The priests particularly, but also those who are anointed, kings are anointed. And of course, Jesus Christ, the word Christ is the same word as the word Messiah. Messiah comes from the Hebrew, Christ comes from the Greek. And myrrh, therefore, is a reminder that Jesus Christ is our high priest and that he is the Messiah, because it's used as anointing. But it reminds us of something else as well, because in John 19 and verse 39, when Jesus' body was taken down from the cross, we're told there that his body was anointed with myrrh. And people used myrrh for that purpose too, for embalming and for anointing bodies. So myrrh reminds us not just of Jesus' priesthood, and not just that he's the Messiah, but he's the suffering Messiah. That he's not just the priest, but he's also the Lamb who was slain. Because it reminds us of his burial, it reminds us of his death. So, when you think of the wise men, of gold, reminds us of Jesus is our King. Frankincense reminds us that we're to worship him. Myrrh reminds us that he's the Messiah who died in our place. I don't know if the wise men knew all of that when they set off with those gifts. I don't expect they did. But I think Mary and Joseph realized it. I think through history, Christians have understood that. That God in his providence and sovereignty was telling us something more than maybe the Magi understood. So I hope that you can take your little Christmas present from me home, and that will remind you a little of the Lord Jesus and what he came to do. And we worship him for his death on the cross and for his glorious life.